You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We're going to take you from the Marketplace Bureau here in New York to a special satellite bureau that we set up in the Highland Park neighborhood of Los Angeles. An entire team of Marketplace reporters and producers spent 4 months there at the intersection of York Boulevard and Figueroa Street. It's where the name of this project, York and Fig, comes from. It's an area undergoing rapid gentrification. There are obvious changes in the neighborhood and more subtle stuff you only learn from close, careful observation. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark was one of those reporters, and she joins us now. She says even setting up the bureau was kind of like reporting a story.
Part of what was interesting was just actually being on the hunt ourselves for a piece of commercial real estate, because it meant that we were going through the process that a lot of new businesses are going through as they are locating in Highland Park. And it also gave me some really great access to a lot of the real estate world, the tenanters and the leasers who are sort of behind the scenes changing this neighborhood, and that is part of their job. That's part of their business.
You know, you were seeing gentrification sort of in action at the ground level, but a lot of what was going on in that neighborhood has already happened. So what did you learn from the people who had a history in Highland Park about sort of how things were at the beginning?
When we moved into our little pop-up bureau, we started asking our neighbors, you know, tell us what for you was that crystallizing moment where you realized something is happening here. And one of my favorite stories was this guy we met who lives a few blocks from our office named Vidal Reyna, and he grew up in the neighborhood. And he told the story about him and his dad when they really first noticed the change.
He turns around to me and he tells me in Spanish, "Hay muchos güeros mal vestidos por aquí, huh? Badly dressed white people." And I was like, yeah, they're called hipsters, Dad. They're moving into the neighborhood.
Badly dressed white people.
Yes. And of course, at that point in the conversation, I looked at myself and I was like, what am I wearing right now? And what do you consider it badly dressed? But I think it speaks to historically, or for the last several decades, it's been a mostly Latino neighborhood. Not as many white people lived here. And it's been a relatively low income neighborhood, a working class neighborhood. And so it really just spoke to this culture clash, and not necessarily clash, but cultural differences.
Well, there's this great sort of question of surface and depth, right? So on the surface, if you're talking clothes or, you know, wine bars, coffee shops, independent bookstores, all of those hipster trappings, but then there are things going on underneath. What was down there?
Neighborhoods are always changing. People are always moving in and moving out of neighborhoods, and that's going to happen regardless. But then there is a whole kind of cast of characters who work in the world of real estate, whether they're real estate agents or developers or investors, who are watching certain neighborhoods sort of change organically and are thinking to themselves, we should get in here and start investing because we could make a lot of money in, you know, it's the classic economics 101, buy low, sell high. If you see a disinvested neighborhood that there are a few people starting to move into who have more money, you want to accelerate that process, amplify that process so that you can profit off of it. And so one person that I met who is an example of this subterranean group of folks who are behind the scenes stoking this cycle is a woman named Nicole DeFlorian. She is a commercial real estate agent. She specializes in something called re-tenanting, which is not a word I had ever heard before, but it's actually a term of art in her line of work. She goes up and down sort of rundown streets in Highland Park, and she looks for buildings that have low-rent businesses, low-rent tenants in them, and she figures out how to approach those building owners. And she says, those low-rent tenants, here's what we need to do with them.
Kick them out, re-tenant the property with new, fresh tenants at market rate.
And, you know, she's very open about that. She makes a commission if she can get a higher-paying tenant into one of these buildings. And when I asked her about this, and, you know, people might hear that and think that seems very predatory, she's actually a very sweet and friendly woman. She loves talking to people on the street. But I think that she sees this as just part of the way that the economy works, part of the way that business works. There are businesses that aren't doing so well that she thinks she could help the landlord, who she sees as her client, do better if they had a more profitable business that they could charge higher rent to. So she looks at it very pragmatically. And I think that that's a part of the gentrification story that we don't hear as much about.
You know, Chrissy, gentrification is such a loaded subject. There has been a backlash against gentrifiers in Highland Park and some positivity. You know, what is your sense, taking the temperature, about how people feel about what's happening in the neighborhood?
It's such a mixed bag, I think. We spoke to people who have lived in the neighborhood for a long time who are so excited that they feel like people outside of their neighborhood are paying attention to them. You know, for a long time, this was what people call a disinvested neighborhood. It was not getting a lot of resources from the city, from outside retailers. So I think on the one hand, it's like, okay, finally, we're getting some of that investment that we've been looking for. But the investment is coming so fast and so furiously now that it can so quickly turn to be careful what you wish for. We asked everybody we met how they felt about the changes. And this young man, Marvin Hernandez, who we met out on the street, put it really nicely, I think. The excitement and also the sort of the undercurrent of why did it take this long and what does this mean? Here's what he said about sort of the city's attention on this neighborhood.
They're investing a lot more money in the community now, you know? At least from what I see, you know? They're building the park on Avenue 50 in York. You know, they're actually trying now, you know? Doesn't seem like they're actually brushing us off anymore.
So it's like, you know, thanks, but there's also this sense of you brushed us off you brushed us off.
Why did it take gentrification for attention to be paid?
Yeah. And I think that that's part of the discussions that people are having internally and with each other is sort of, okay, now that there is this investment in this neighborhood, what can we do to make it feel equitable? What can we do to ensure that folks who've lived here for a long time can benefit from the investment as much as the newcomers?
Chrissy Clark, correspondent for our Wealth and Poverty Desk, thank you so much for your reporting.
Thanks for talking to me about it.